Welcome to Tanya Definitions, Defining Tanya. We're up to Lamed. Last week we did Kavana, which is quite an involved, probably Kavana is the most complex subject in Tanya, I think. I think you can say that. And we went through the different madrigas of the heart, and now we're into Lamed. So that was Kaf, which was Kavana, now into Lamed. Okay, so Lavush, we're going to talk about Lavushin today. Okay, hi Ben. So it's interesting because in the second Perek of Tanya, he speaks about Lavush in a singular. In the fourth Perek of Tanya, he talks about the Lavushim. The Levushim, the garments of the soul. Okay, so first I'm going to talk about Levushim in plural, and then we will talk about then we will talk about when it speaks about Levush, we'll try and work out what that's talking about.
Good
Bezrat
having
Hashem.
the
Okay,
voters.
so Levushim translates as behavior. Simple as that. You've got three modes of behavior: thought, speech, and action. They are all considered behavior, and that's what Levushim are. So we call them Levushim, which means garments. The best translation of that is behavior. Okay, so why are Levushim the moshul for behavior? And it's insane how to say how clever Chazal was is a bit of a chutzpah. I won't say that, but to say how much you learn about behavior from the simple fact that your behavior is called Levushim. Okay, the soul has, so to speak, a soul of a soul of a soul. Yeah, some people call that the Pintla Yid or whatever you want to call that. You could call that Tainug or Yechida. Then the soul has a Ratzon, which is the soul of the soul, which is spoken. So well, that's the soul of the soul. Yeah. Then that could also be called a Chaya, which is really your will to live. Then the soul has a Seichel, okay, an intellect. That could be called Neshama. And that is the head of the soul. Then the soul has a body. You could call that a ruach. That's the emotions of the soul. And then the soul has garments. You could call that malchus, nefesh. That is the behavior of the soul. So the soul's got, in this sense, it's got five levels. Yeah, you could call it yechida, chaya, neshama, ruach, nefesh. Or in the Lashon of Chabad, you could call it Tainug, Ratzon, Seichel, Midas, Levushim. So Levushim is the final part of the entire structure. And it's the final expression of the Nefesh. And it could be either Nefesh, it could be the Nefesh Elokis or the Nefesh Bahamas. It's the same. They're different. They're different, but they're conceptually and mechanically the same. Maybe identical. So behavior is an expression of Midas. Emotion expresses itself as behavior. If there's no emotion, there will be no behavior. Emotion is just an energy. What's the opposite of a chaotic? It's an ordered energy. Ratzon is a chaotic energy. It's a singular. It's like Ratzon is like in a sense like electricity. Emotions are like when the electricity is running through some kind of device that is turning it into something more productive, like cold air in an air conditioner, or light from a computer screen, or from a light, or whatever it is. So emotion is ordered energy, and that energy needs to be released. And or if it doesn't, it will feel very uncomfortable. But basically, it needs to be released, and it releases itself by way of behavior. Thinking, speaking, and doing. So behavior is an expression of emotion. So why is it called, why are they called garments? So there's so many reasons, and they're all so revealing. I've written here only four, but very recently I ended up understanding a whole bunch of them. So I don't know the order. I'm sure there is an order. Well, go on, what would you say? Let me throw it out to you guys. What would you say is a feature of clothing that a purpose of clothing, a feature of clothing that immediately pops out? Sorry?
Color.
Color. That's interesting. No, I mean more like what is a function of clothing? What does it do?
Oh.
Or a quality of clothing, not a quality of the clothing, but a quality of clothing bichlal. So the first thing, probably the first thing you'd say is that you
Coming back.
express yourself through your clothes. I know if you're a doctor, I know if you're a king, I know if you're a serf bum through your clothes. So there's a level of expression through clothes. Okay, I know if you're Haredi, if you're Dati Lumi, I know if you're Muslim. I know what you are through the clothes you wear. So there's an expression of who you are through clothes. That's a very important point. Another extremely important point is that they are external to you, meaning you are not your clothes. So you're not your behavior. That means this is very important, maybe the most important thing that I know. You are not your behavior. That means you are free to act in any way you choose. Because you're not your behavior. You're the one who behaves. You're the one who does. You're not the doing. You're the one who speaks. You're not the speech. And you're the one who thinks. You're not the thoughts. You're the one who does those things. So the fact that they're external to you means they're not you, which means you feel angry. Yeah, you can bite your lip and you don't have to say something. You have a tiver to say some, juicy gossip. Yeah, you can not do that. You have a tiver to eat something or to hit someone, chas v'sholom, you can stop that. And even thinking, yeah, now to actually just stop thinking, that takes a lot of practice and a lot, that's not available to many people. But to distract yourself with a different thought, very available, extremely available. So you can also choose what you think. So, because it's external to you, it means that you can control your behavior. That is called in Chassidus, Moach Shole Al Halev, that your mind is in control of the heart. But in this sense, it means the heart in the part of the heart that is responsible for the doing. So, you are able to act in a way contrary to how you want to act. Okay. Now, this is a very, very important idea as well. Garments are put on and taken off. You put them on and take them off. They are time bound. So thought, speech, and action are all time bound. Now it kind of goes in gradations, but you yourself are not time bound. The essence of who you are. Or let's talk about it like this. Your behavior is not time bound. For example, I can stop speaking whenever I choose to. I can discontinue my thinking. I can stop doing an act. Like if I'm just waving my hand, I can just decide to not wave my hand. And again, like we said with thinking, I can choose to not think or to ch change the subject, which means behavior is time bound. And emotions are much less time bound. For example, I can stop talking like that. I can't stop loving someone like that. Or maybe I could if I found out that someone dear to me had had genuinely betrayed me or something like that, then potentially I could stop loving them like that. But that needed a huge energy. That needed something very, very big. But generally, you can't stop loving someone like that. And all the more so, you can't stop knowing something. It's even harder to unknow something than it is to unlove something. And your rotzon, which is your desire to live, well, that you've got, that's not time bound, basically at all. I mean, it is when you die, apparently, but that's not time, and that can't change. You can't lose your will to live. Like you can ob, what's it called?
Obfuscate.
Obfuscate. Obfuscate. Obfuscate. How do you say it?
Obfuscate. Obfuscate.
Yeah, I never been able to say that, but that's the word. Yeah, you can
Obfuscate.
conceal it, but you can't get rid of your desire to live. You can't do that. And the chevre who commit suicide are the exceptions to the rule that prove the rule. Okay, that would be a whole discussion unto itself. But you can't, your will to live is what's called makif. It's not within your purview. You don't have control over that. Okay, so behavior is very much time bound, and who you really are is absolutely timeless. That's another important point. Okay, another very important point is you can wear somebody else's clothes. I can dress up in your clothes, yeah, depending on the size, but I can borrow your clothes, which means that I can actually do things for you. That like I could take your dry cleaning to the dry cleaners for you. That would be an act, a deed being done for you. That's your deed. I don't need to go to the dry cleaners. So I'm taking you need to go to the dry cleaners. That's something that you need to do, but I can do that for you. So that would be called becoming clothed in your garment of Misa. Yeah. Like right now, you are wearing my garment of thought, if you're listening to what I'm saying. And when you read a book, your mind becomes enclosed in the author's thinking. That's called wearing his levush of thought. Or you could be reading from a book. Yeah, that would be called using his levush of speech. You're speaking his words, they're not your words. They're his words, whatever book you're reading. So we can wear other people's garments. Meaning we can do behavior, we can do other people's behavior. And that's a key point here because we're going to start talking about what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs are Hashem's garments. So by us doing mitzvahs, us performing mitzvahs, we, so to speak, becoming clothed within Hashem's rotzon. We motivate his, we're wearing his garments. He wants to fill in on the Jew's arm in the morning. That's his behavior. That's not my behavior. So the idea I heard of Rav Manis is very, he's very nice to people. You know, he's very unconfrontational. But there's one thing that he is he's not confrontational. But when somebody says, I did a mit, it was my mitzvah. He was like, a mitzvah's never yours. Don't ever think that a mitzvah's yours. Mitzvahs belong to the Rabbeinu Shlom. You have a schus in fusing with mitzvah, in merging with mitzvah, in activating mitzvah, in energizing mitzvah, in coordinating mitzvah. But the mitzvah's never ever yours. That's the whole point of it, is it's his mamash. And that's your
What
connection.
about Kenyan Atu? Kenyan
Kinyan Torah means that you become Torah. To say that I've acquired the Torah, that I hear that's the way you would say it. But the point is that you merged with the Torah, or the Torah merged with you. So you would say it's, you could say it's my Torah, but more accurately, you could say I've just become more godly. It's his Torah. He gave us his Torah, but that was the schus of being Jewish. It's always his. Even when he gave it to us, he didn't let go of it. His Torah. It's always his Torah.
Kenyan is a Kenyan.
You mean you're koine the Torah, meaning that it's now your Torah. But that's what I'm trying to say to you. It's like it's a way of saying it, but what you're really meaning when you're saying that, Eliezer, is that you have become Torahdik. It's merged with you. You've become one with Torah. So to say it's now your Torah, you could say it like that. If you're looking at the world through egoic eyes, you would say now it's my Torah. But it's you, or you could look at it now in a more healthy way and understand that you've become one with Hashem's Torah. As I'm saying, because you could have said it's my mitzvah. I did the mitzvah. It was my mitzvah. I got the mitzvah. I gave tzedakah, and that guy was about to. Yeah, he didn't do it. I did it. I got the mitzvah. It's my mitzvah. You could say that, but it's a more like accurate, healthy way of connecting to it as it's his mitzvah, and I'm zoicha to engage in it. That's a more kind of productive, healthy way of seeing it. Yeah. So that's the merging. That's the idea of wearing somebody else's garments, is I can do something for you. I can speak your words. I can think your thoughts. Yeah, and we're going to see how that relates to the Rabboni Shlomo in regards to the Torah mitzvahs. Some chidushim, some recent chidushim of garments is that they get dirty. Garments get dirty, and obviously, if you're in a filthy place, then they get dirty. That means, in the moshul, that means that your behavior gets affected by your surroundings. But then, garments even get dirty. Like, you can never keep wearing. That was one of the chiddushim by the Midbar, is you can never keep wearing the same garments, even if you stay in a sterile environment, because your body itself causes the garments to get a little dirty.
Well, now with the 9 days coming up,
And
you
now we've got the
can't
9
even.
days. Yeah, that's a very important mitzvah, by the way. We should take that very seriously. Before Shabbos, you should wear clothes, and you should try and wear the clothes for an hour or two at least, to make them feel that they're not laundered. It's a big the avoda of the 9 days is a really important avoda for it's really important for us as Jews to go through the actual to go with the halachas, and to not to try and find ways around and whatever. Obviously, everyone according to his level, but it's a very important 9 days to detox a little bit from yourself. Yeah, Yitzi, what are you saying?
Yeah, just if I don't know, an example of that. Like you made it sound like people try to deviate. So what are people trying to deviate from?
No, well, I mean, the idea of not having a warm shower. Yeah, that's hard for people to not have a hot shower. Yeah, that's really difficult. But could you find rabbis who say that you can have a hot shower? I'm sure you can find people who give heterim for having a warm shower. But I'm trying to tell you, it's a good avoider to not have a warm shower. Don't have to have a freezing cold shower, but just have a shower that isn't pleasurable. Just cut down the pleasure of the shower. You don't have to put yourself through pain, but just have a shower that you would never usually have, in that it's much cooler than you'd usually have. And there's no real pleasure. Not that you'll be a Messiah yourself, but there's no pleasure in it. That's hard to do. That's really hard to do, especially when no one's looking, and it's all, you're by yourself, and who cares? That was for the old days, then there's the clean clothes. Yeah, then there's listening to music. Then there's the washing actually with soap. Like if you don't need to, you can leave yourself a little bit longer than usual. If you have a shower every day, then maybe have a shower every other day or once in 3 days or whatever it is, just to detox from the pleasure, to detox from our self-infatuation is a healthy thing to do. And this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. Anyway, so the idea of dirty clothes. And this is quite a subtle point, but one of the ideas of dirty clothes is that what happens with behavior, what is dirt? What is lichluch in Torah? What is dirt? What does it mean that there's what's what does it mean something's dirty? Dirt is ego. Ego is dirty. Your sense of self is called dirty. So somebody who has filthy garments. Yeah, that means that they are very connected to their sense of self. Yeah, they're not very humble. So what does it mean that your garments get dirty? It means that given time, you will start to identify with your behavior. And your ego will derive energy from your behavior. For example, like I've seen this now happen a bunch of times in the classes. Like if we always talk about being on time, yeah. So the point of being on time is that when you say you're going to be there at 9 a.m., you're there at 9 a.m. Why? Because you're putting yourself second to your word. That's the point of being on time. Yeah, as I said, I'm going to be there at 9. It's now 8:45, and I've got that one last email. I did all my emails. There's one last one to do, and I have an empty inbox. I'm gonna be late. Get up and leave the email and be on time. Yeah, that is an amazing avoider of bittle. That is real bittle. Yeah, you put yourself aside. You wanted to finish off that last email. You got one more email to get a clean inbox. You don't do it because you're honoring your word. You became more holy. Okay. But what about when you become the guy who's always on time? You're that guy. And then when your wife's late, you can't bear it. And when you're gonna be late, you can't bear it because you're the guy who's on time. It's not now about putting yourself to the side so that you can honor your word. It's about being you. You with me? You fell out of the frying pan into the fire. Meaning you've now become a guy who defines himself as being on time. Well, wait, did you make yourself less or more? Just giving yourself more definition, you've become more. So that's the idea of garments just always becoming dirty. You have to stay on top of yourself. Don't become the guy who's on time. Don't be defined in your mind as the guy who's always on time. That's not the reason why you're being on time. The reason why you're being on time is because you're not important enough to not be on time. Who are you to not be on time? You said you're going to be there at 9 o'clock. Who are you to get there for 9:20? That's not, who are you? That's why we're on time. Not because I'm an on time, that's who I am. That's not it. So that's the inion of clothes getting dirty. And then there's another inion. Also, you grow out of your clothes. You grow out of your clothes. Certain behavior that was fitting for you when you were 15 is not fitting for you when you get older. Okay, that's a very important point. And what was the other one? You clothes get dirty. Ah, and your clothes also wear out. Clothes wear out. That was another thing that didn't happen in the Midbar. What does it mean, clothes wear out? And this is it's kind of a derivative of what we just said. This is an amazing idea, is that after a while, well, let's talk about the paper towel. I know that Benjamin likes the paper towel thing, yeah? So, by the way, Benjamin, you met Yitzi, my friend Yitzi Katz. You know each other?
Yeah, we met in Israel, I believe, at G, right?
Wow,
Are
Yitzi's.
you in?
You're
You're on mute.
on mute.
Okay.
So yeah, what's the meaning of clothes wearing out? So the paper towel thing, yeah, the paper towel thing, everyone knows who's done the paper towel thing. It's really good. It really feel like it's doing something to you, yeah. But clothes wear out. After a little while, you just become the guy who takes one paper towel.
Yeah, you become that guy.
Yeah, you're just it. Not that you're deriving benefit. You're not like it's not like an egoic thing. It's just you take a towel, you take one towel, you don't take three towels. You just take one towel. I'm not the guy who takes one towel, like meaning that that's not who I am. I've just been taking one towel for so many years now that I just take one towel. That's not helping anymore.
I saw somebody yesterday taking three towels, and I said, "Why is he doing that?" I just watched. Why are you being so abusive? I didn't say it, but I really felt that. I said, "Wow, the guy has to work on himself a little more."
Yeah, but what I think you're saying is maybe is that you can be you could be a person who takes one towel for a year, but then you can take two towels. You could take three here and there because you don't want to be stuck in that being that guy that always takes one.
Yeah, well, we're saying a different thing. That was to do with the last point. Yeah, meaning you now, if you become the guy who takes one paper towel, and sorry, Benjamin, but that means that when you look at the other guy who takes three paper towels, you don't think positively about him. Yeah, that's not Poseidon. So,
I did. I shouldn't have assaulted him then.
That's a different thing. When you become the guy who takes one paper towel, like you become the guy who's on time, that's already dirty clothes. But what we're trying to say is that when you begin taking one paper towel, yeah, you move. That's affecting you on a very deep level. You're gonna take two. You've taken one. You've cleaned out. You could do with another one, but you're like, I'll be fine. It'll be all right. Give me a 5 seconds. It'll be fine. Yeah, so you put yourself aside and you grow. You just became a little bit more humble. Yeah, you just got a little bit closer to Hashem. But after a while, that just becomes not who you are, it just becomes what you do. You're not deriving, you're not, it's not like the egoic thing where your clothes get dirty, where now you're the guy who takes one paper towel, and I am more holy than thou because I take only one paper towel. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just the fact that the paper towel becomes easy. It's just like with weights. If you're doing, if you do 10 reps, then eventually you're gonna have to start doing 12, and then 15, and then 20. You just it becomes normal. So that's what it means by clothes wear out, meaning your behavior impacts you. This is a very important part of behavior. Behavior, see, another thing is with behavior is what you're wearing. Yeah, impacts how you see yourself. So when you're dressed in a certain way, hopefully you start to behave a little bit more in that way. Like the chances of you doing something not so great when you're dressed in, shorts and a t-shirt are probably more when you're dressed up in your Haredesha Levush, whatever it is. The behavior feeds back into the system and actually affects you. Everyone knows that, yeah? But then the clothing wears out. This is the point. You hit this kind of critical mass time point where the clothing stops affecting you. Meaning the behavior is now, this is just what you do. This is just what you do. When you park your car, you make sure that you go closer to the other car than so that there's room behind you. And after a certain while, that's not making you any holier. That's just what you do. It's like, so then what will Hashem do? Hashem will send you new opportunities for growth in behavior. I'll give you an example, actually, Binyamin. You gave me this. This was a month or so ago that was a whole new behavior for me that I never thought about at all. You spoke about spitting on the floor in Israel.
Correct, yes.
And that really affected me, that idea, like yeah, you can't spit. I'm not going to spit on the floor in Israel. Why should I spit on the floor of Eretz Yisrael? And so I stopped spitting on the floor in Eretz Yisrael. And now,
Wow.
So that was in your sluice, thank you. But
So
that's
you were
it.
you spitting in the first place? What's happening?
Yeah, you spit if you have
Have
something in your
phlegm in your
mouth.
mouth. You spit.
Yeah, yeah. Yitzi can't relate to
And get
that because
that. You got to get
Yitzi's
that checked out. Yeah.
yeah, Yitzi is so refined. Yitzi's a tzaddik by his nature. But yeah, so us heathens, sometimes we spit. In Israel, it's very acceptable to spit. It's very it's not it's very acceptable, yeah. So anyway, but I'm saying you have to be moving forward in your behavior.
I can imagine you land in Israel first time you start spitting. But I want to ask you about the clothes you mentioned. So you can wear clothes
I'm
and
listening,
then
I'm listening. Keep speaking.
actually, let's say you wear a suit and tie every day. And so you said it feeds back into the system. But after a while, that gets stale. It doesn't feed back in the system anymore.
Yes.
So what would be a good etzah for somebody to snap out of it? For themselves, you because it sounded like you were saying Hashem is going to bring it to you. Is there a way that somebody can do it themselves? Meaning to say, maybe go when you go on vacation or something for a few days, maybe go in shorts and a t-shirt for a few days, and then come back to those clothes. Is that something that you would recommend?
I mean that would make a difference, but think about it in regards to like good behavior. Like let's say you're very careful to very careful to not spit on the floor in Israel. Let's just say, what? So you should spit on the floor a little bit and then come back to the behavior. No, it's just, I think the way I look, I haven't thought into it enough, but the way I'm understanding it right now as you're saying it. Is you need to be looking to move in behavior. Like if it's not even you need to be looking for it. If you are,
While you're thinking, I'm just going to say, right, you know that we davening at 6 in the morning at Happy Minyan the whole year. Now it's the summer. Honestly, I need a break. My tallest filling on, it's 10 o'clock. I just did a 9 a.m. Minyan. I felt like that was getting stale, right? Waking up every morning, 6 a.m. Like, I just felt like I was going through the motions, you know? So I purposely am waking up later, taking the break so that when I come back into it, I'm excited for it.
that's called
Now
a
it sounds
vacation.
like you're.
That's clever. That's a vacation. But you're not doing, like, let's say you daven nates, yeah? You can't do that. Like, you can't not, if you're a nates davener, you can't stop davening. I mean, it's a very important, it's a big inyan to daven nates, yeah? It's a very, very heiliger thing to daven nates. So I'll tell you, you want to know, I never realized this. I asked my rabbi because I'm giving the LA share, yeah, at 6 in the morning. So I asked my Rav, what's better, that I daven, because whatever the logistics were, that I daven nate, I daven nates, yeah? To daven nates before Zman, beyechidus, yeah? And then give the shear. Or give the shear and daven in a minyan after nates. So oh, wait, to daven nates before Zman, Beyichidus, yeah. Give the shear, and then go to a minyan and listen to Kriyas HaTorah and Ashrei V'Alatzion and
What
Aleinu.
do you mean before Zmani? Meaning you daven Shemoneh before Nate?
A little bit before Zman, yeah. You can if in Shas Dachak you can do that a little bit, yeah. I mean, even until Alos you can do that. But he, like my Rav said, until 10 minutes before Nates you can do it, and it's preferable. Then, so to daven nates beyichidus and to
Wow.
split up your davening with a shear, an hour shear in the middle, yeah, is preferable than just davening in a minyan after nates. The month
Wow.
of nates is huge. So yeah, I didn't realize. Like I had no, I didn't, I almost didn't ask my rabbi because it was so obvious to me. But I thought I'd ask him anyway, and he said that. I was like, wow, that's unbelievable. But it's not an option to like not daven nates if you're a nates davener. Like if you're not davening nates anyway, then to daven a little bit later. And again, to get some koyach and to that's called vacation. That's what vacation's about. And that's one of the things that does that for you is Sukkos and Pesach. That flips the schedule on its head. And anyway, but your question was Like, let's say it's not an option to stop the behavior. Let's say, it's just not an option. You don't want to drop down in your behavior. So if you're in a relationship, your relationships are dynamic. If you're in a relationship with your wife and it's a real relationship, your behavior will be improving and improving and improving. That's just how it goes, because it becomes normal and you want to give to them. It's not that you want to take on a new thing. It's not about the thing. It's just the emotions are there, so you want to do more. You understand what I'm saying? So Hashem will present you with new opportunities for more and improved, for better and improved behavior constantly. And don't get me wrong, our behavior, the behavior that we're doing anyways, it usually needs a bit of an improvement as it is. But that's the point of behavior. Garments wear out. They stop affecting you, so to speak, in a positive way. And unfortunately also in a negative way as well. A person who keeps doing negative things, after a certain while, that's him. He just it stops, like a guy who's Shomer Einayim, the guy really cares about what he sees, and something pops up on the screen, he needs to he feels disgusting. And you got another guy who he can't pull himself away from the screen looking at disgusting stuff. Well, that guy has now, it's not, another hour, another 2 hours, it's not really dragging him down. It's just, this is who he is now. It's the same, unfortunately, the same on both sides. So remember that clothing behavior at the beginning has a massive effect on the mensch, but then, depending on the type of behavior it is, it will stop having such a dramatic effect. Okay, so Levushim is the soul's ability to behave. It's a talent. The Levushim are a talent that the soul has. Its ability to think, to speak, and to do. Now, it's through the Levushim that we actually connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. Mitzvahs. Doing mitzvahs are, so to speak, his behavior. We say in the Gemara, everyone knows that Hashem puts on tefillin, Hashem davens, Hashem wears talis, Hashem does all the tayag mitzvahs. What does that mean? That means that they're his behavior. We do it for him, but it's his behavior. So when we do, that's where we meet. We wear his clothing. When we do Torah and mitzvahs, we are becoming enclothed in his behavior. We're, so to speak, giving life. We're bringing the energy component to his behavior, which is the 613 mitzvahs. That is a very deep, a very profound bond that we have with the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ummus HaOlam can't do that because they don't have Torah mitzvahs to do. The mitzvahs of the Ummus HaOlam are not called Ratzon Hashem in the same way as Tayag mitzvahs are called Ratzon Hashem, even though they share a lot of similar mitzvahs. The mitzvahs of the Ummus HaOlam are not about Ratzon Hashem; they're about Kiyum and Yishuv HaOlam. They're about allowing this world to be. They're not an intimate desire of God's. God needs a world to be so the Yidden can connect it back to him. So Yisrael, the Korach Yisrael, can connect it back to him. But the actual the commandments, the mitzvahs of the Ummus HaOlam are not the same. They are, it's like becoming, oh, I said something the other day. What was it like? It's like, yeah. Oh wow, it's almost exactly what this parsha we said, 1 minute. In regards to the when a mensch is mayfair his wife's A man, as in Mayfair, like utters his wife's nullifies
Oath.
a man. Yeah, a man can nullify his wife's oath. But listen to that. I just mum wrote it just today. Yeah. So Rashi says, "Lo yichal devarav." It says, "Don't be machal like halal. Don't be machal in your words." And then Rashi says, "Loi yaaseh devarav chulin." Don't make your words chulin. Don't make them chol. What's the kesher between chol, sheishishmei chol, and kedusha? Why is it called chol? Because chol doesn't have a shem in it. It's a halal, meaning he doesn't really want the 6 days of creation. He wants Shabbos. He wants the only reason why there's 6 days of creation is because you can't have a seventh day without the 6 days before it. So I kind of have to have the 6 days before it. Like I can't. I want a yichud with. I want a yichud, but without a world, there is nothing to have a yichud with. So it's not the world that I want, it's the yichud I want. That's why the world is called chol. So when somebody speaks without intent, his words are called chulin, meaning he's not in it. So that's the mitzvah, so to speak, of the Umos HaOlam, is they becoming clothed in clothes which are not, Hashem is not in those clothes. Because he doesn't really want the world. He wants the world for a purpose. And the purpose is the mitzvahs. So the difference between us wearing the mitzvahs is that the Rabbi Hashem is in those clothes. And the behavior of the Umos HaOlam, who are Mekayim, they're Sheva Mitzvahs, they're Noach. Yeah, the Rabbeinu Shem is not in those words in the same way anyway. Definitely not in the same profound way. So anyway, so it's through the Levushim that we interact with not only Hashem, but also with every other person. Your relationship with your wife, the place where you and your wife touch is through the Levushim. And through the Levushim, you and your wife, actually the Metzias of you and your wife, merge. But the place where that merging begins is in the Levushim. What do I mean? Well, your wife, the tshulin pot is in the Sunday morning. The tshulin pot is in the sink, yeah? And your wife's rotzon is that that tshulin pot gets cleaned. Now, when you clean that tshulin pot, you become enclosed within her levush of Maisa. When you turn around to her and you say, "I love you," in a real way that she wants that said, yeah, you are being malubish in her words. She wants those words, "I love you," yeah. So, and it's less so by thinking. So that's the place where we touch, where one person begins the place. What really merges in a relationship is the essence. The essence of you and the essence of your wife, that's the avoider of marriage, is that those two things become one. Okay? How do you do that? That's the Levushim. The Levushim are the place where you become enclosed in her Levushim. You don't care about the tshulin pot. That's not your behavior. That's her behavior. And what's enclosed within her behavior is her rotzon, her love and her fear, her rotzon, however you want to describe it. So by you doing her behavior, the essence of you and the essence of her begin to merge. And that's exactly how it works with Torah and mitzvahs. It's just the moshul. It's the moshul. The mitzvahs are his. They're his mitzvahs. They're his rotzon that are very kindly of him packaged in a physical action, most of them. And by doing that physical action, we are merging with him. So all Lavush takes, but the Lavushin is the place where the Kesha begins. If you're going to take one thing away from this shear that we've just had, is this. Be a good boy. Take care of your wife. Do what she wants. That is, I was saying this the other day, this is an amazing thought, yeah? You realize that, excuse the vulgarity, compared to the from the intimacy that takes place when you clean the chillin' pot is highly likely to be deeper than the intimacy in the bedroom in so many cases. You with me? In the bedroom, it's very hard. It's very, very hard to leave yourself, to let go of yourself and to concentrate on her. Very hard. Yeah. There's too much pleasure involved. But the chillin' pot, there's nothing to distract you from there. So the intimacy, that's just the moshul, obviously, anything that she actually wants. And the more she wants it and the less sense it makes to you, the deeper the that's the inyan of the chukim, is it makes no sense to you whatsoever. She wants this new shaita or whatever it is, yeah? That you've got no understanding of this. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That's very, very intimate. That's extremely intimate. That's mamash stepping out of yourself in the most profound way and into her. So we didn't talk about Lavush by itself. Let's just say very quickly, we'll finish very quickly on this. We mentioned at the beginning of this year that idea of the singular Lavush, that the Alter Rebbe speaks about in the second parak of Tanya, which he said is determined by the level of selflessness or the level of kedusha that your parents had when they brought you down into the world. That determines the Lavush of the nefesh, but he doesn't say levushim. He says levush, meaning the more selfless you are with your wife, the more heilig, the more kadosh, the more holy the union is when a man and a woman bring down the child into this world, bring down the soul into this world. That dictates the quality of the levush, not the levushim, the levush. And the Tzemach Tzedek explains that it means the levusha machshava. Because everything comes through the Levusha Machshava. So this is the trip, is the level by which we are intimate, the level of Kedusha in which we interact with our wives when we're bringing down neshamas into this world affects the way they think. The way that child thinks, and that is the way, that is what leads to everything else of the mensch. That's the interface between the soul and everything else. You see, you meet people who are leading very whacked out lives and talk to them, and most of the time you will be exhausted by the way they think. You can't relate, you're saying something and you're it's just taking hours to say something that should have taken minutes. Their mind is just, it's like exhausting, yeah? And you'll see that that kind of mind generally lives in a very chaotic world because it's the mind that creates it's the mind that creates the world that the person's in. So that's when the Rebbe says that the quality of the relations of the intimacy between the parents determine the levush of the child, it's referring to the koach ha-machshava. So when does chinuch begin? Mikvanite. That's when chinuch begins. And probably well before that, because to have a good mikvanite, you need to already have gotten to certain madrigas. Okay, so that's levush and levushim. Baruch Hashem, next week we'll do mem. Jesus Hashem's bruch.
It
Shkri.
starts with being on time.
How's that very much? Wait, Yitzi, are we on for tomorrow morning early?
Yes,
Thank you very
God
much.
willing, yes.
My pleasure. Okay, it's like isn't.
Okay, have a good night.
Awesome.